Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 32. And they can be found on pages 998 and 999 in your pew Bibles. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup, after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are chastened, that the word we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." Here ends the word.
Today is World Communion Sunday. And this is the Sunday that we set aside. Christians all over the world come to celebrate the oneness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, just want to thank the Philadelphia Bible Church for being with us this morning in this time of celebration, this World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday actually started with we Presbyterians. We were the ones who actually inaugurated World Communion Day back in the 1930s, as the world was growing increasingly more anxious over the rise of fascism and various other forms of radical nationalism that stressed the distinctiveness of blood and race. The idea at the time was to remind Christians around the world of the basic unity and oneness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we celebrate that oneness and that unity is through the sacrament of communion, coming together around the Lord's table. Communion is one of two sacraments that we observe in the Presbyterian Church. The other sacrament is baptism. And the sacrament, as we have said before, is an outward sign of an invisible reality. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine are a visible sign of the body of Christ broken for us. Unlike some Christian communities, we Presbyterians do not believe that the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ, but it is a sign of the body of Christ in our midst. Every time we come together around the table, it is also a sign of our unity, our oneness, the oneness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ with Christians around the world. We may choose not to live into that oneness. We may choose not to claim that gift of unity. But when we come together around the table, it is a sign that in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are one. In the words of our Presbyterian Book of Worship, communion was given by Christ himself. It is not a ritual that we in the church has made up. It was the Lord Jesus Christ on the night of his arrest who instituted the Lord's Supper. It was he who first broke the bread and blessed it and gave it away. And it was he who first poured the cup. And it was he who said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So the ritual of the Lord's table is not something that we in the church have made up, but it was something that was instituted to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul passes on to the church at Corinth the tradition of the Lord's Supper that was given to him. How on that night of the Lord's betrayal, how he did take bread and blessed it, and how he did say, "This is my body broken for you," and how he did take the cup and pour it out and say, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Paul's major concern in handing down the tradition as he received it was that we would do communion right. We cannot come to the Lord's table in any kind of way. We cannot do the Lord's Supper in any kind of way. There is a way that we are supposed to come to the table, and Paul is concerned that we do the communion supper right. When I was a teenager, one of the jobs that I had every Sunday at the little church that I grew up in was to preside over the Lord's table. I didn't realize, of course, what a big liturgical responsibility that was. I wasn't ordained in any way, and the only reason that we could get away with it was that our church was so small that the denomination left us alone. But that's what I did. I presided over the Lord's table. At that time, it was just a duty that was given to me by the pastor. But several years later, as a newly ordained Presbyterian minister, fresh out of seminary, one of my biggest fears every Sunday, first Sunday when we took communion, was that I might not do communion right. I feared that I might say the wrong thing, might flub up the words of institution, that I might not wear the right vestment or maintain the right decorum or do something, maybe spill the wine. I was always fearful that I might not do it right. But Paul isn't concerned with any of that. Paul isn't concerned when we come to the Lord's table if we get the words of institution right. He isn't concerned with whether we are appropriately attired. He isn't concerned if we say the right things. The thing that most concerns Paul is that we discern the body. When we come to the table, do we discern the body? Do we discern the body of Christ, first of all, the body of Christ that is broken for us? Do we discern that? Do we discern his sacrificial love, his self-giving love that was broken, that caused him to be broken for us? Do we discern that when we come to the table? That's what Paul is concerned about. Do we discern the body? But he was also concerned with whether or not we discern the body as a congregation. As a congregation, we are the body of Christ. As a community of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his body. We are one. We are one with each other. We are one with other Christian communities. We are one with Christians around the world. And so Paul is concerned that when we come to the table, do we discern that? Do we discern our oneness with other believers? Apparently, for the Corinthian church, that was not the case. Apparently, they were coming to the Lord's table without the right kind of discernment. It seems that the Lord's Supper was a part of a larger meal that the Christian community had. And it seems that there were some people who were coming to that meal in the wrong kind of spirit. They were coming and they were meeting with people who they knew, with their friends and other members. They would sit, they would eat, they would drink. And by the time that other members of the community came, all of the food and drink were gone. And so those who had to come later in the day because they worked found that when they got to the dinner, when they got to the supper, all of the provisions were gone. Because those who were able to get there early ate and drank and were merry, and there was nothing at all wrong with eating and drinking and being merry with your friends. But they forgot the body. They forgot to think about others. They forgot the body of Christ and what his self-sacrificing death meant. And they forgot that we are all one and united. And so they didn't give any thought for their brothers and sisters who were less fortunate. And so Paul warned them that whoever comes to this table and they do not discern the body, they eat and drink damnation to themselves. During World Communion Sunday, we are asked to remind ourselves that we are one body. Even though we designate one Sunday, World Communion Sunday, the reality is that every time we come together around the table, we are reminding ourselves of our basic unity and oneness. And we need to be reminded of that and what that means, especially we American Christians, because we have the opportunity to avail ourselves of so much of the world's resources. We here are able to eat more than our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. We are able to afford more gadgets, technological gadgets, and other life-enhancing measures more than other people in the world, our brothers and sisters around the world. 2 years ago, when I was in Israel-Palestine, I remember being with a group of Palestinian Christians and just noticing many of the things that we take here for granted that they had to struggle with just to be able to meet on a regular basis and to keep a congregation going. And they often wondered how things were here in the United States, and they had these wonderful views of the United States. If we could just get there, everything, it'd be heaven on earth. And yet we here are barely cognizant of their existence, as we are the existence of other brothers and sisters in other areas of the world. The poorest 10% of the world accounts for just 0.5% of the world's consumption. But the wealthiest 10%, and that includes all of us, account for 59% of the world's consumption. Americans constitute 5% of the world's population, but consume 24% of the world's energy. On average, one American consumes as much energy as 2 Japanese, 6 Mexicans, 13 Chinese, 31 Indians, 128 Bangladeshis, 307 Tanzanians, and 370 Ethiopians. Americans eat 115 billion calories of food each day. That's roughly 200 billion more than is needed, enough to feed 80 million people. Americans throw out 200,000 tons of edible food daily. The average American generates 52 tons of garbage by age 75. The average individual daily consumption of water is 159 gallons, while more than half the world's population lives on 25 gallons. 80% of the corn grown and 95% of the oats are fed to livestock in our country. In contrast, 250 million people have died of hunger-related causes in the past quarter century, roughly 10 million people a year. 700 to 800 million people, perhaps even as many as a billion, don't get enough food to support normal daily activities. Africa now produces 27% less food per capita than it did in 1964. And 1.7 billion people lack access to clean drinking water. Those are chilling statistics for us here in the United States and for many of us Christians. To think that our brothers and sisters around the world often do not have what we take for granted. Paul reminds us that we are united. We are one with those Christians in those countries. We are one with those Tanzanians that struggle to get water. We are one with those 800 million, some of them are Christians, who struggle just to get enough calories in order to maintain their existence. We are one with them all. And I wonder that when we come to this table to take our share of the sustenance of the Lord's body and blood, if we discern the body and remember those brothers and sisters. Paul told the Corinthian congregation that it is because of their lack of discernment that many people were sick in their midst and that many had fallen asleep. I'm not quite sure what Paul meant by that or what kind of connection he was trying to build. But it's something for us to think about here in the United States, especially for many of us Christians. How many of our congregations are sick? How many of our congregations are dying because we have failed to discern our oneness with brothers and sisters around the world? This table that is set before us is a reminder of how we are formed and shaped by it. As Christians, we are called to remember the sacrificial love that made this table available to all of us and to live in to that sacrificial love in the way that we relate to our brothers and sisters around the world. It is through this table that we too learn what it means to be blessed, to be broken, and to be given away for the sake of the world. May we remember this morning, as we come together around the Lord's table on this World Communion Sunday, may we be reminded that indeed we are one body, we are one people, we are the body of Christ, called into unity by the self-giving love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to discern what we too readily would like to forget, that we are connected to people who often have far less than what we often take for granted. how easy it is to close our eyes from our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether they are the ones who live around the corner, or across the other side of town, or whether they are the ones who live around the world. Whether they are people who look differently than we do, or whether there are people who look like us but who are embroiled in conflict and strife somewhere else. Help us to remember that you have gifted us with your unity, and help us to live into it in all that we do as we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out into the world. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.